I love that line. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Are the things of this world strangely dim to you? Or do they get all the attention? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his face, and they will grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want to real quick tell you something. I've had some questions about this. You can listen to any sermon I preach here at church on our church website. Go to Asbury Petal, and on the very bottom of the page, you'll see a little picture that looks like a microphone. You can click on that and hear any sermon that I preach. I've had some people ask me, can they get a copy of last week's sermon? Yeah, if you want me to make you a copy, I'll be glad to. But also, you can go to our church website and listen to it straight on our website. So any sermon I preach here will be on the website, usually within a couple of hours after service is concluded. So if you'd like to listen to anything I preach, you can go there and hear it. We've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, talking about being salt and light, our mission here at church is to be salt and light. So we've been talking a lot about that in this past month, and we're going to conclude this walk through the Sermon on the Mount today with Jesus' last words on prayer, with what Jesus had to say about prayer. I've got a friend of mine. He's a friend. That's right there. That was me about 200 pounds ago. I look like I'd eaten my children in that picture. That was actually taken. If you notice the holy, there's a great holiness in that picture. That was taken in the Grove. So a very holy picture. He's a buddy of mine. He's an 80 wrestler. He preached over Parkway Heights in Hattiesburg. And we've been friends for a while. And here's the ironic thing about our friendship. We never talk. We never actually talk to each other on the phone. We've lived 10 minutes from each other the last 8 weeks. I think I've seen him once. You know how our friendship has carried on? We text all the time. We're always texting each other. In fact, my wife got jealous at one point. I think right now I've got more text messages from her than I did from Eddie, but at one point I had more texts from Eddie than I did from my wife, and that's creepy. But it's so funny because we can go days without talking to each other through text or through an actual voice conversation. We can go a long time without talking, and then we just magically reconnect. It's like our friendship basically is an unending conversation. We literally will pick up where we left off last time. I mean, it's like the conversation just keeps going even when we're not talking. It's an unending conversation. And we all have someone in our life like that. We've all got someone in our life that our friendship really is a continuous conversation. It's so cool if you move away from home and you reconnect with an old high school buddy. And it's so cool when you can literally, like you pick up where you left off. It's like your friendship has not changed and you remain friends during all these times. We've all in our life got someone in our life where our friendship is that unending conversation. Those are very sweet things. C.S. Lewis once said, we underplay the importance of friendship. Friendship is an important thing. It's funny, I look at my ministry as a ministry of friendship. That's kind of how I view myself in a lot of ways. It's kind of like your friend to kind of love on you and encourage you and teach you. Let me ask you a question. Who are your friends? Do you have Christian friends you can turn to in times of trial? Do you right now have someone you can call or text and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. That's what we talked about, small group connections. That's what they're kind of for. It is to give us that person we can turn to and say, hey, man, I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me right now. Oh, by the way, next one. It's a picture of Polly on a camel. It's got nothing to do with nothing. It's just a picture of Polly on a camel. You know? Once again, it's just, you know. She went somewhere this past week and somebody said, hey, you're the woman on the camel. Yeah. So, you know. Jesus talked about this, about that friendship. And you might be thinking, Andy, I don't have anybody in my life that can be that friend to me. And you do. That person's God. Your walk with God should basically be a continuous conversation. A continuous conversation of prayer. You know, people say to me sometimes, you know, Andy, I can't pray. And what they mean by that is they mean, Andy, I can't pray in public. Everyone can pray, because if you've got a heart for God, if you've got a heart, if you've got a soul, if you can breathe in air, you can pray. Because prayer is not about what you say. Prayer is about what is on your heart. Now, you might not be able to pray in public. I understand that. Hey, y'all, I'm a preacher. I tell folks, I get paid to use my mouth. I get paid to talk and eat. I mean, that's what I do. So Holly, when she married me, she married a prayer at all church meetings, at all family meetings. When we go eat with family, I magically start floating towards the front of the line because I know when it's time to pray, guess who's doing it? Yeah, that'd be me. I'm the preacher. I pray. That's what I do. I pray. That's my go-to move. But prayer is not just public prayer. Prayer is your heart for God. Some of y'all may know the name Bill Moyers. He does some Bible stuff on public television sometimes. He tells a great story one time when he was President Johnson's press secretary. One time President Johnson asked him to pray at a meeting. And so Bill Moyers got up to pray, and he prayed. And after he finished, the president said, "Moyers, I couldn't hear you." And Bill Moyers replied, "Sir, I wasn't talking to you." That's prayer. Doesn't matter if the President of the United States is in the audience. When you pray, you're not talking to him. You're talking to one person, and that's God. Prayer is not about what you say. Prayer is about the awareness of knowing that you are in God's presence. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But we all want to learn to pray better, don't we? We all know that prayer is part of what it means to be a Christian. And we all want to become better prayers. We all want to understand what it means to pray better. And so I want you to, if you got your scripture with you, if not, you can follow along on the screen. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, where our Lord tells this. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth that it is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on as other people do, of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us for our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those whose sin is against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's interesting that if you notice that text, Jesus almost seems to be saying, don't worry about praying in public. He said, in fact, when you pray, go to your room. Shut the door. Don't worry about what other people think. I don't ever want to hear you tell me, Andy, I can't pray. Yes, you can. You might not want to pray in public, and I understand that. But if you know there's a God in heaven, you can pray. Your prayer life is not about what you say, but understanding that you're in the presence of a holy God. I had a professor of mine in seminary that I talk about a lot, Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick taught church history in seminary, and he was from El Paso originally. And once a year, his brother from El Paso would come to Memphis, and they would spend time together. And Dr. Nick said he'd wake up in the morning, and his wife, Sandy, would come down to the kitchen. And he would see there she'd find Dr. Nick and his brother sitting there around the table drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. And one of them would have the sports, and he'd read the sports. He'd pass the sports over to the other one, and they'd give him the other part. And they would just sit there in silence, reading the newspaper. And Sandy said, "Nick, you never see your brother. You never see him but once a year. And yet here he is, and you're not even talking to him. What are you doing?" And Dr. Nick said this: "We simply enjoy being in each other's presence." I love that. We simply enjoy being in each other's presence. That's prayer. It's not about what you say. It's about knowing that you're in the presence of an awesome God. And even if you don't say a single word, it doesn't matter. Because you're in the presence of an awesome God. But the disciples did come and say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And so the Lord said, "Okay, I'll teach you." I wanted to share with you a couple things that have helped my prayer life. I don't know if they will help yours, but they've helped mine. So I wanted to share with you a couple things this morning that have really changed the way that I pray. And the first two are going to sound kind of counterintuitive. The first is pray when you feel like it. I had to go to Oxford Friday for a doctor's appointment. So that meant I had 5 hours in the car. So guess what I spent a lot of time doing? Praying. With my eyes open. Thankfully, I didn't close my eyes. Yeah. When I jog in the mornings, I pray. Usually the prayer is, "Lord, don't let me die out here." You know, that's my normal prayer. But I pray when I'm jogging. I pray when the Spirit hits. You don't have to be in church to pray. You don't have to be listening to K-Love to pray. You don't have to be reading a spiritual book to pray. You can be in your desk and say, "Lord, be with this person." You can be at your desk and say, "Lord, help this person." You can be at your desk and say, "Lord, help me." Pray when the Spirit leads you. Pray at all times and all places. That's what Paul says when he says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray all the time. You don't have to pray a billion words. Your prayer can simply be, "Lord, help me. Lord, help them. Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. Uphold me. Be with them. Be with me." You don't have to spell out the U.S. Constitution. You can simply turn your heart towards God no matter where you are. I heard it put like this for our kids. As long as there are tests, there will always be prayer in schools. You can pray wherever you are. But the second is going to sound the exact opposite. Make time to pray. Y'all learn me. I don't sit still well. I'm not a quiet person. I'm what they call a type A person. So you know what I do every day? I don't leave my house before I've had time to pray and read the scriptures. Because if I don't do it before I leave the house, I won't get it done. And I need it. I know how weak I am. I know how frail I am. I know that without God working through me and in me, I can't do anything. So I make time each day before I leave the house to pray. Y'all, we make time to eat lunch. We make time to go places. We make time to do things. Do we make time to pray? And if we are not hearing God speak to us, I put forth this. Perhaps the reason we're not hearing God speak to us is because we're not taking time to listen. God is not silent. God has not left. God is still here. The question is, are we putting ourselves in a position to hear God? I've often said the Christian life is a lot like rebounding. What? Rebounding? Like basketball rebounding? Yeah. If you ever play basketball, you learn this. Rebounding is about position. Your job is to get between the ball and the other guy. And if you're between the ball and the other guy, you're going to get the rebound. No matter if he's 7'10", because he's going to come over your back to get the ball. But your job is to put yourself in proper position to get the rebound. The Christian life is not about being perfect. Sometimes the Christian life is simply about putting yourself in a position to hear God. And to go from preaching to meddling this morning, are you putting yourself in a position to hear God? If you're wondering why God is not speaking, sometimes the first question has to be, are we listening? Are we listening? Make time to pray, y'all. Make time to pray. And I want to just briefly share with you a method of prayer that has helped me in my life. It is an acronym called ACTS. A-C-T-S. ACTS. These are four things that I found in my life to be helpful when it comes to prayer. The first is the A, adoration. That's a big fancy word for worship. We worship on Sunday mornings, don't we? Do you take time each day to realize how awesome God is? How holy God is? How righteous God is? Do you take time in your prayer life to worship God? Do you take time in your prayer life to actually realize how awesome God is? Or do we simply rush into our request? Y'all, before we get to our request, we need to take time to worship God, to realize how awesome He is. Sometimes we forget how awesome God is because we forget how awesome God is. We forget. We're so ready to give God our list of stuff to do that we forget to take time to realize, wow, He's God. He made all this. He made everything we'll ever see and the stuff we won't see. He made it all. He made both Oxford and Starkville and Hattiesburg. Wow. That's a God that makes everything. And yes, for you LSU fans, Baton Rouge too. Okay, I'll throw it out there. Have you realized how awesome God is? Have you taken time to slow down and just realize, wow, what an awesome God He is? Our prayer life must include some time of worship, some time of adoration. Next, the C is for confession. Y'all, I'm an idiot. I'm not particularly intelligent. I do a ton of stupid things every day. I have to take time each day to say, God, hey, I blew it yesterday. God, I'm sorry. I'm a moron. I blew it. Can you forgive me? And I keep taking the same things back to Him day after day and saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this. And Scripture says this, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We do not experience the power of forgiveness because we do not ask for forgiveness. We are so ashamed of what we've done. We're so embarrassed by our mistakes. And not just embarrassed. I'm not just embarrassed. You're going to find out what an idiot I am. Because you can read my Facebook statuses and see minute by minute what I'm doing, you know, so you can see when I'm making a mistake. I'm not just embarrassed that you're going to find out what I'm doing. I know that God knows what I'm doing, and I'm so ashamed of these things, and I'm so regretful for what I've done, and I'm so embarrassed by my mistakes, and I'm so, oh, God, how can I be such an idiot? How can I keep doing the same thing over and over again? God, why do I do this? Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. No matter what you've done, God loves you. God doesn't want you to stay unforgiven. God wants to forgive you. Why do you think He gave us His Son? Because He wants to forgive us. He wants us to know the power of forgiveness. He wants us to know the power of new life. God wants to forgive you. Confession isn't just for God to forgive us. Confession is so that we can forgive ourselves. Because I don't know about you, you can commit murder, and I'll say, oh, but God still loves you. You're still His child. God still loves you. I forget to pray, and I'm like, I'm going to hell. I'm going straight to hell. The earth's going to open up and suck me down. It's going to happen. I have a much tougher time forgiving myself than I do forgiving you. Confession isn't just so that God can forgive us. It's so that we can forgive us. Then we have the T, which is for Thanksgiving. God's awesome. God is awesome, y'all. Scripture says every good gift comes from the Father in heaven above. Everything, y'all. If it makes you happy, if it's a good thing, if it gives joy to your life, if it's awesome, it is from God. Every good thing in your life comes from God, no matter what. If it is a good thing, God gives us coffee. Yes, praise Jesus, He gives us coffee. God gives us hot Krispy Kreme donuts. God gives us all these things. God gives us the love of family. Y'all, even the most reprobate person in the world, even the person that's the farthest enough away from God, is loved by his mama. Everybody knows that power of love. And that is a gift from God. If you have experienced love in your life, that's from God. If you've experienced joy in your life, that is from God. If you've experienced anything good in your life, that is from God. Have you stopped to say thank you? When's the last time in your prayer you just said, wow, God, thanks. Wow. Wow, God, thank you. I don't deserve these things, but you've given them anyway. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, count your blessings. Count your blessings, see what God has done. When was the last time you counted your blessings? When was the last time you said, God, wow, thank you? Because, y'all, I don't know what's going on in your life. I have no idea. I don't know what family struggles you have now. I don't know what job struggles you have. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I guarantee you this. Count your blessings. And then see how you feel about the rest of it. Count your blessings. Thanksgiving. And finally, the S, which is for supplication. What are these things we need to give God? What do we need to be praying for? Who do we need to be praying for? We make two mistakes with prayer, y'all. One is the mistake we make is that we think prayer is all about us. That prayer is simply me giving God His marching orders. Here, God, here's my shopping list. Go fix these things. That is not what prayer is. C.S. Lewis says, the amazing thing about prayer is not that prayer changes God, is that prayer changes us. Prayer isn't simply about telling God what we want God to do. Prayer is not about God doing our will. Prayer is about us learning how to do God's will. Say that again. Prayer is not about getting God to do our will. Prayer is about us learning how to do God's will. So one mistake we make is that we think prayer is only about us. The other mistake we make is that we think prayer has nothing to do with us. God knows our needs, y'all. And God wants us to share our needs with him. God wants us to give those things to him. Oh, what needless pain we forfeit. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have you given it to God, y'all? Whatever you're dealing with. And you're human, just like me, which makes me know you're dealing with something. You're dealing with something. Maybe it's a family concern. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's a financial concern. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but you're dealing with something right now. You are, because you're breathing God's air. And we're all dealing with something. Have you given it to God? Have you really given that to God? Oh, what peace we forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we don't give it to God in prayer. Have you given it to him? You're going to suffer till you do. You're going to bear pain till you do. He wants to take it, y'all. He wants to take it. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have mercy. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have life. Have you given it to him? Until we give it, we don't know life. Have you given it? It's very fitting that we conclude the Sermon on the Mount with prayer. Next month, we're going to have two awesome Sundays. I invite our band to come up and get ready for our closing song at this time. We're going to have two awesome Sundays in the next month. One is next Sunday where we're going to have bring your cell phone to church. So next Sunday, bring your cell phone with you. Bring it with you to come to church. And then starting on the 12th, we're going to launch a new sermon series entitled Just Do It. There's stuff God wants us to do, y'all. There's stuff God wants us to do. We can't do what God wants us to do until our hearts are the way God wants them to be. How does God transform our hearts? Through prayer. Are you praying as you ought? Are you putting yourself in a position to have God speak? Are you wondering, why is God not talking to me? Have you allowed yourself to be quiet and listen? Are you not experiencing peace in your life? Maybe it's because you give it to God and take it back and give it and take it back and give it and take it back and give it and take it back. Have you given it to God? The only way we'll be the people God wants us to be is by praying as God would have us to pray. This morning, are you putting yourself in a position to hear God speak to you this morning? I invite Brian to come up here and help me out. The altar's open. During this final hymn, final song, the altar's open. Maybe you aren't praying like y'all. Maybe you know it. Today's the day. Today's the day to start over. Whatever you're going through, today is the day to walk out of here, leaving it on the altar. What do you need to leave at God's altar right now? What do you keep leaving and picking up, leaving and picking up, leaving and picking up? Today is the day to leave it. Today is the day to give it to God and say, no more, God. This is yours. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of walking with it. Take it, God. Perhaps you never started that journey with Him. Perhaps you've just been going through the motions. Perhaps you've never given it to Him for the first time. Perhaps you've never entered into a relationship with Him. Today's the day. Perhaps you just want to start a new life of prayer. Today's the day. But however you wish to respond, His altars are open.